Digital stance, getting firewalled, ho, cause I'm riding the net in my 6-4. I was a dick with my 56. Now with my cable, I'm able to get that stable. On the out, my name is Ace and I'm a Leo. On the digital highway, my name is Neo and I'm a hero. In a flash, I'll school you on burning Dreamcast. You need some ISOs? Let me do my hard drive rifle. Our exchange you could never stifle. In a digital hug, you just caught the love bug. I bootlegged your CD. I caused the fight between Un and Jay-Z. The CG, it's all gonna be free. Whether we take it by force or we take it nicely. You feel that rattle in your bones? When I tell you we just hacked Dow Jones. And NASDAQ, leave your pride on your back. Cause I am he who loves to hack and crack. Cause I am he who loves to hack and crack. This is dedicated to the hackers and the crackers. Serial codes, source codes, ISOs, RAMs, SIPs, SIPs.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Binary Revolution Radio, episode 24, brought to you on this day in history, Tuesday, December 16th, 2003, originally aired, and I open the show with wonderful, wonderful, wonderful news. That's right, we got him. We got him. It took us a while, took us quite a while, but we finally got the infamous one, the Dual Parallel, back on the show. Welcome, Mr. Parallel.
Hi. Can I have your information?
Oh, there's a dog. What's up, man? I thought you were talking about Saddam Hussein for a second.
Hang on him. Six of one, half a dozen of the other, you know.
Saddam Parallel.
Can I call you Saddam?
Please.
Or just Mr. Parallel. How about Dual? Can we go with Dual for the show? It'll be easier.
Saddam.
Obviously, we finally got you back on the show. First time in a while because, what is your excuse?
What do you mean?
What is your excuse for not being on the show?
I don't know.
Because
I'm like reading all those show notes.
The infamous show novels.
Damn.
No, actually.
That is a lot of, you definitely, you're very professional and it shows.
Well, I don't know about all that. Like I said, I read a lot. I cut and paste a lot. I go, during the course of the day, I see something interesting. I email it to myself and cut and paste it. I read up on it. So even if I didn't do the show, I was doing all that anyway. I'm reading up. I'm keeping abreast of things. I just said breast. I'm keeping abreast of the news. And, hell, I might as well use it on a show,
See, I got Bland. Bland carries the show.
Yeah, well, Bland carries. He's been carrying this show for a few episodes now, so.
He's good, I'm telling you. I want to get some stuff to Bland right now.
He is the voice of hacking media. We are going to jump into some email from. Actually, we can both. You got this email as well. I don't know if you've checked your email lately, but we both got an email from our good friend Gluco. The Mad Canuck. You did or didn't see this before I go into this? Because this gets me a little upset, actually.
No, seriously, I get a lot of email. Can I take this opportunity to ask people, just as a common courtesy to anybody, not just me, not just Bland and all the email we get, but just for the hell of it, address who the email is to, right? Like a letter. And then at the end, go ahead and sign it. Just for the hell of it. To everybody, not just me. But, yeah, we get a lot of email, and I'm sure I got it, and I can't say that I've read it.
Well, it just came here, I think, a day or two ago, and this is the
one. Does that, by the way. He does address and sign it. So.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, he's actually really
good
about it. But, yeah, I know what you mean. I get somewhere.
Yeah, it's like,
I don't recognize the email address may not match a name that I know.
Never does, dude.
Exactly. So, I know what I feel you, dog. I feel you.
All right, cool.
All right. This may ring a bell for you. Let me talk about the email. Maybe you'll remember this. But he was basically, he took a scan of a clip from newspaper. Basically, in Canada, their copyright board approved a new media levy, or tax, or tariff, or whatever you want to call it. A new media levy. As of December 12th, which is 4 days ago from when this airs, I guess.
Yep.
And it's going to affect the price on MP3 players, audio media consumables, blank CDs, et cetera, et cetera. This is their way, I guess, of... I don't know what... I hate using this term, but in the United States, sometimes you hear the term sin tax, where they want to tax cigarettes or alcohol or something. I guess this is their way of doing some... Some kind of control or some kind of way to stop piracy. I'm sure, that's definitely their aim of it. They actually put a levy against media and anything that will stifle people from copying, etc. For example, and this is the example that he gave us, a 50-pack of 700-megabyte blank CDs used to be $29.99 Canadian and their old price.
That's a rip off the beginning.
Canadian dollars, it's different too. But yes, retail, just for example, retail price, $29.99. The levy adds 49 cents to each disc on that spindle, on that 50 spindles, for a total of just the levy alone, $24.50.
Damn.
On a $30 spindle. Now, you add in your sales tax, you come up with a total of $62.66 Canadian, over twice the price, thanks to this levy that they put on there. Over doubled.
You can get a hooker cheaper than that.
Well, really, where?
You're Canadian.
We have to talk about that after the show. Canadian.
A Canadian hooker.
I imagine they're cold.
Who's getting this money? It's just the government? They're just pocketing all this stuff? Thank you very much.
Yeah, exactly. And the thing is, does this? They're not far away. Does this come down to us soon? Is this a way of, you know, they're having problems passing laws and getting, you know, some of their demands met? Some, not all. They're doing pretty good, actually, if you ask me. But is this going to be their way around it? Is they're going to start adding levies and taxes and sin tax, again, for lack of a better word, something similar to a sin tax on these specific items in the name of stifling piracy?
Yeah, it's not going to do a damn thing. Okay, sure, it's going to really bump up the price of your consumables, but how about your MP3 player, right? That's a one-time charge. So what? I don't know what it is. There's no percentage or anything. Just gives an example of the disc. I don't know if that came from the article or not. But So your MP3 player, right? Because some people don't even use physical media ever, right? It's from their computer, straight to their MP3 player, go through your car. You know, you're never making a CD. So what the hell? It's not going to stop anything.
Right. Well, it depends. Again, you're right. The only information I got was from him on this. Unfortunately, well, I don't have information from Canada. I don't know any more details on it other than what he's passed on. Maybe he can follow up with us. But yeah, what would is it going to double the price of the MP3 player as well? Because that would really suck.
Yeah, that would suck.
You know,
that's still just a one-time cost.
Well, yeah, but it's
man, I made a car MP3 before. I took a little old tower, like a digital 9-3, I don't know what it was, and I stuck in my car. There's pics on oldschoolfreak.com, and I was playing MP3s on that. People do that. People have done it, and they'll continue to do it. Go ahead, levy away.
No, don't levy away.
That's not what I'm saying. Go ahead. It's not going to achieve their goal. If their goal is to stop piracy, if their goal is to stop people from, you know, infringing upon copyrights, it's not going to work. It's not going to work. They're going to have a shitload more money because people are going to pay it. But,
well, will they? Or will can? I'm sure there's going to be places you can order it on the web, order it online. Hell, Gluco, I'll hook you up. You know, come on. I mean, there's going to be ways. They're going to get around it. I mean, they're not going to catch a lot. They might catch some people, I guess, and get a little money off of them, but...
Dude, I'm going to put, like, blank CDRs in my my seats and, like, a fake compartment under my rig, and then I'll just go across the border and, like, sell them.
Nobody will be smuggling drugs anymore. They'll be smuggling blank CDRs.
From Mexico, it's going to be CDRs to frickin' Canada.
Yeah, exactly. Or they're going to, like, how the drug dealers, they go out and put it in the ocean and send it out there, and then people come across the thing on the boat and pick it up out of the ocean to avoid customs and stuff?
Yep.
It'll be the same thing.
I'll freaking rent a Cessna, fly that shit over into B.C., and start freaking dealing in CDRWs.
In a back alleyway somewhere. Yo, man, I got the hookup. The first one's free. First one's free. Come back for the rest. Gotta get them hooked, man.
Yeah, it's stupid.
No.
Poor Canadians.
Yeah. And you know what? I know you're kind of joking and you're saying bring it on, it's not going to stop. But the principle here, this principle, hell no, don't bring it on. I know you're not justifying it, but, you know, there's no reason for it. It doesn't make it right. I would fight from this happening. I wouldn't ignore it and say, yeah, thanks for the levy, now I'm going to keep copying. I'd still fight and say, no, take your levy and shove it right up your Canadian ass.
I mean, the Copyright Board approved a new media levy. So, you know, nothing went to a vote, right? I mean, they just said, oh, we raised prices. Bye-bye. You know,
I think this was in process. There was some process to get it. It wasn't they just snapped their fingers one day. I think the article that he mentioned this a while back was like a couple months ago. So I don't know how long the process took. But, yeah, this was something that they didn't just do overnight.
Mm.
So I don't know if they have lobbyists and if they drag their feet making laws like we do here in the States.
Right.
But, hey.
Well, this is something I'm interested in. I might actually read up on this. This sounds very interesting because, yeah, it very well may come down here.
Yeah, interesting. If by interesting you mean disgusting, sure.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, exactly. You know, digital rights does tickle my fancy.
Mm.
You know, can I mention something I saw on TV? It was a Gateway commercial. You know, Gateway is, you know, big into the consumer electronics now. They got the plasma screen TV.
I guess it's too late for me to say no since you already jumped right into it.
Exactly. So I will continue. Right. And they mentioned something, you know, and I was probably in a, you know, half awake watching this thing, and they must have said something about music or digital music, because right below, in small text, but in the middle of the screen, right below, like, the monitor that they were shooting, it said, "Please respect musicians' copyrights," or something like that, right on the screen, right there. I think what I'm thinking is that they mentioned digital music, and then, "Please respect musicians' copyrights," or something like that. You know, what the hell?
See, the irony there is that the musicians have the copyrights, but it's the industry that's making the money, not the musicians.
Wait, what the hell?
I know that the musicians' copyrights...
I not to make a lot of money from their art.
Yeah, yeah. You know what? That's a hole with no bottom, and we've beaten that horse to death.
Yeah, but yeah. I just thought it was amusing, you know, during the big Christmas push, stuck that in the middle of their commercial, in the middle of the screen.
You said it was Gateway?
That just a Gateway commercial.
And they have Gateway commercials on the porn channel?
Yes, they do. They do. Surf porn faster on their new PCs.
Ooh, sweet.
That's what I'm watching.
Okay, we also had, let's move on here in the housekeeping. I don't know if I should bring this up because I'm not going to put a name to it. I had someone send me a video submission for Act TV. Very, very cool footage. A little long, it's going to take some editing. And frankly, I don't even want to say what it's about because I'm going to leave some surprise for Hack TV. Even Saddam Parallel doesn't know all of what's going in. He knows some, but he doesn't know all of what's going into Hack TV. So
what is this video? I am President of Iraq.
You look a lot like Santa Claus too, by the way.
I felt sorry for the man.
Yeah, well, you know, I don't. But anyway, that's a whole nother topic. That's actually, That's a good.
Oh, yeah.
That's a good segue.
We don't want to talk about that.
Yeah, I don't, you know, we want to talk about technology and hacking and technology and more hacking and freaking and digital rights.
You know what? I don't know shit anyway, so I'm not going to talk about it either.
Well, and we're gonna actually touch on a general topic later on. We'll kind of discuss it because you and I talk about it a lot. I thought it'd make a good discussion on the air. But let me go back through here and we'll catch up to that because that. Speaking of Hack TV, that's a good segue into what I've been working on. I mentioned it in the forums, and I got some more footage myself done.
Amateur porn.
And that's not part of Hack TV. That's a whole different project. Thanks for spilling the beans on that one. I did film some more footage myself this past weekend, and Saito and I are going to be filming some more this week. We are already scheduled. We already got it set aside time. He's already approved it with the woman, with the little lady. And that's coming along well. And actually, today he gave me some of his first draft work on what we already have done. So there is definite progress, and it looks great. I mean, it's very well put together. The editing is good, transitions. It looks like professional television.
Can't wait.
We're not going to have any 17 minutes and 50 seconds shows or 5 minute and whatever, you know. It's not going to be, this is going to be a full length, regular show, opening, intro, closing credits, the whole nine yards. It's going to be very, very well done. And, you know, that might be something to take. Maybe we ought to discuss, we probably should have talked about this off the air, not while we're recording, but maybe we ought to think about taking that to H2K4. Because it's going to be...
Sure, they'll show that kind of stuff.
Yeah, I think they have... Don't they have a video room or something? I don't know if they have to schedule it or how that works, but we may have to look into that.
Usually they're movies, I believe.
Well, we may have to check into that and see what that's all about. Maybe they'd entertain... Because it's going to be... It looks like it's going to be an hour. We're looking towards an hour now for the first episode, a full 1 hour.
Nice.
So, and speaking of H2K4, see, I'm flowing with the segues, baby.
You are.
Segway! Shout out to Mute. I think I came up with a presentation idea for H2K4, if they'll have me. And I'm going to actually bounce this off of you. I'm going to have you proof it again, if you ever proof the other stuff I sent. I might run this idea by you and see what you think. I'll put the presentation together and run it by you and see what you think.
So you're bringing up all this awesome stuff, and you're not going to tell us what any of it is.
Well, you know, I don't want to give it all away.
Gotcha.
I just want people to know that it is coming so that somebody may be on the fence about whether they're going to make it to H2K4 and they're going to make it to the next Hope Conference. Well, I don't. Some people may think, oh, well, I won't know anybody there, and, you know, if the guys from BenRev were doing something, or if the guys from Radio Freak America or Old School Freak, if I knew someone was going to be there presenting or doing whatever, you know, they might be more likely to go. Whereas opposed to, oh, I won't know anybody, I don't know if I want to go see a bunch of strange people, do you know, that I don't know, or, you know, I don't know, I'm just throwing it out.
Exactly why I want to go, see a bunch of strange people.
Well,
look at myself.
Yeah, exactly. They don't get any much stranger than I do, than me. But, and not only H2K4 conference, but I have also been emailing back and forth with the organizers of Interzone, which I've mentioned on the show once or twice before. Actually, sent some detailed information now, and we are very close to finalizing plans of broadcasting, streaming live the whole weekend from Interzone. Voodoo Hal and I are going to be the only ones to make it, unless you guys, somebody else is able to free up at the last minute or something, but we are talking tentative plans. We've already talked to Rant Radio, who's open to the idea of using the whole weekend, so we're actually hammering out details. I have touched with Rant Radio, I have talked to Rocket from Interzone, I have, you know, we've already worked it out. We're just working on the logistics now of, okay, how are we going to get the microphone and, you know, have the presentations live, and how are we going to be able to do that, or are we going to be able to broadcast from out in the hallway and, you know, summarize? We're working out the logistics of stuff like that. So there's some details for you.
Thank you. That's
Is that
very
better?
Exciting.
All right. Now, as far as you and what you've been working on, you said you've been playing with Fluxbox in between diddling yourself to the Asian porn.
I love Asian porn, dude.
Well, who doesn't love Asian porn?
Sure. Mature Asians. Yeah, hell yeah. Yeah, dude, it's all bland, man, because I start messing with Fluxbox, and then he just goes all out, dude, and just learns everything. So he actually made an RFA theme.
I saw that.
Today. Yeah, dude, it's awesome. Seriously, I love it. I love it. It's a joy to compute now. And also just been messing around with Perl, learning as best I can, and having a blast doing that. It's so much fun. I like the challenge. I like the constant challenge. You know, I'm going to ask you now, because I don't care. I asked you this before the show. Would it be, would the allure go away if you, hypothetically anybody, if one person, if they did this full-time, if they... You know, hacked full time. You know, mess with Perl, Fluxbox, Linux. I don't know. Would it go away?
Oh no!
I would think not.
No. Absolutely. I wish I could do that full time.
Me too.
But that's why. You know, I've always been, well, weird in more ways than one. But particularly on the computer end, I've never been one of those people that had a doubt of what I wanted to do with my life. Ever since I was young, playing on the old Apples, playing on the old Commodore 64, VIC 20s, the TRS Trash 80s. I mean, started on computers when I was young, and I never looked back. Never had any questions. The first time I put the phone coupler into a 300 baud modem and hit outside world, even though we didn't have the internet, as you know, you had BBSs out there. I've always known that was my calling, and I've always been into programming, and people don't get it. And Voodoo Hal and I had a whole show about this one time, we can talk more about what it's like as a job now, but
right. What
drives you to it is just, the bottom line is it's every single day you sit in there, people think, oh my gosh, that's so boring and that's so monotonous, and you look at the same, it is if you don't have that mindset. And that's why I say that people who are hackers have programming skills. Even the ones that think they don't, they have that inquisitive mind. They have that overcoming boundaries and limitations thought process. They have that getting through the wall, you know, finding a way through the wall, around the wall, working, problem solving, that kind of stuff, which are also ironically, skills that people look for in management, but I won't even say that because, you know, hacker, management, you don't use those words together.
Right. It's a constant challenge.
And it's not the same code every day. It's not the same thing. It's
And I'm learning something new every day. Even if it's small, I'm learning something all the time, and I love it. You know, it's just, I'm not being mentally challenged in my job. Come on. How many people out there are? Seriously.
Well, yeah, it's...
If you you are, you're lucky. You're lucky that that it's a challenge and that it's exciting in that way.
Yeah, and I kind of...
Sorry to bring this up, but...
This is your show, man. You are on the special guest. You are the co-host with the most back on the show. Whatever you want to talk about, we talk about. Forget the time that I spent writing these show notes. I've been slaving over them. And you want to drive off into something else?
No, serious, dude. Our shows are freaking...
I know.
They are the antithesis of each other, dude.
I don't care.
Seriously.
They're still funny. No, they're not the antithesis. Are you kidding? We're complimentary.
Well, no, but I'm saying, like, you got show notes. You're, like, really professional. I mean, bland, dude.
Hey, that doesn't, you know...
Good luck.
We don't, like right now, we're so far off the show notes. The thing is, we don't, just because I have them,
right,
doesn't mean we have to go by them. If we have something else, some interesting conversation like we have now, we go with it, man. We'll go with it.
Gotcha.
But now we're going to stop and go back on the show notes.
Yes, let's do that.
No, actually not. You're looking at code every day, and people have to realize, and if you don't, because I know some people out there who are still in school and don't know. If you are intrigued by program, if you're one of those people that you write the program that you have to for school, you get it done, and then you turn it in, and you're like, thank gosh, that's over with. If that's the way you're thinking, then yeah, your programming might not be for you. But if you're one of those people that turns it in and then goes back home that night to make it even nicer and clean it up a little bit more and make it more efficient, you know, it's an art form. And I love tweaking the same code I've been doing,
That's exactly what I've been doing. I've been taking my horribly new Perl and making it just new Perl. And actually, you know, one I haven't pimped was like that Spammer DB. I redid that. I redid Ghetto Tooth. You know, you can actually go and get that email database, by the way. The latest one is up. You know what? Something funny. I put more, somebody posted on your boards, more of the coverage areas for Roadrunner.
Mm-hmm.
So I've got more coverage areas, and I ran it again, and the database is smaller. Before it was 5.4 megs, and now it's only 5 megs, so it's kind of weird. I guess they must have lost a lot of customers or cleaned up their home pages or something. So, yeah, that's exactly what I've been doing. I've been going through all my old code and just improving it, hopefully improving it.
Yeah.
And it's been a blast. I just love it.
There's no such thing as a complete program, as a finished program in my eyes. It's a constant evolving entity.
Oh,
and
cool.
And in the world of a programmer, in your job, they're very much in the mindset of write the program, get it in production, and then wash your hands of it. You want to put it in production so that you have no interaction with it anymore, so that it's done, it's out of your hair, you can work on other things. And to an extent, that is absolutely true. You don't want to have to babysit and manually run programs every day. There's nothing wrong with that. You want to write your program smart enough and efficient enough and intelligent enough that they can somewhat run themselves. But as technology changes and platforms change, like for I'll make up an example because I don't do Windows programming. I'm not into that. But let's say you were to write a program that works in Windows 98. I don't know. Windows XP comes out. Windows 2000 comes out. Whatever. Your code will probably still work. It's backwards compatible. But that new platform has so many new features, and I'm using a common Windows just because people can relate to it. It'll still work. It's still backwards compatible, but it won't be as efficient because you're not using the new function calls. You're not using the new libraries that have been made available. You're not using the latest additions to the compiler, etc., to make it really, truly work cleanly and hand-in-hand with the new operating system.
Right.
You know? So there's always that extra stuff that you can do to your program, and especially, like, my programs are my babies. I don't forget them. I remember them. 3 years down the road, I'll read something, and I'm like, oh, kick-ass 64-bit processing. I can go back to that program, because I remember it used to be 33K, and I couldn't get it to work in one pass. I had to write two. Now I can update it, and it's going to get hit in one pass because I have this much more, you know, processing power at my hands disposal.
Right.
You know, I just always have that years back, and it's just, I don't know. That's just, you can be a programmer without that, but the most elite programmers I've ever met in my life have that.
Yeah.
You know, and I think there's a lot of correspondence between hackers. They feel and think the same way. You just got done saying you updated your Roadrunner. You know, I know Not Theory has been making changes and additions to his lookup script that we all love that rocks. Even DDP Freak Toys, which, gosh, I wish more people were taking advantage and check that out. I'm gonna put that link back up and pimp it again because it rocks. I use it on my cell phone every day, and man, and that gets updated. You know, it's like you never just oh yeah, here it's done. Bzz, go away. Bzz, bzz, bzz. You know, it's not like that.
Yeah, well, I totally agree, and I hope I'm on the right track. And I want to take advantage right now, take advantage of being on your show and ask anybody, hey, man, if anybody has any comments, you know, or help, you know, for my code, hey, you can do it better, you can do this, you know, use Strick, whatever, send them to me, man, believe me. I would love it. And I want to learn. I definitely want to learn. That's why I like the forum so much. So.
Always, always learning.
Hell yeah.
Now, I'm going to make that into a segue. Watch this.
Okay.
Speaking of learning, there's been a lot of discussion lately on the mass media. And I'm going to ask you a question, Mr. Parallel.
All right.
Can we actually learn from the media?
Absolutely.
Is the media just completely evil? Is it absolutely despicable that they're biased and they make up, they don't present the true facts, they give you a slanted view? I mean, is there anything useful? Is there any news in the news anymore?
Okay, can I answer more than just a yes-no right now?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay.
I was setting you up for a good 20-minute rant there.
Oh, well, here we go. The answer is yes, but be selective. I've got a great example.
Thank you. Go.
Yeah. Oh, that's good?
Yes, that's exactly what I was...
Really? Going. Oh, good. Awesome.
Go for it.
And I didn't read the show notes. The Walmart, the lady who was, quote, trampled at Walmart, right?
Right.
You know, that's a great example. You know, you have to... First of all, you can't stop... learning, right? To go back to the segue, you have to. If there's something that interests you and that impacts you, then you must study, right? You must research. Again, be selective. Use definitely more than one viewpoint, more than one media source, and be a little more choosy about what media source you consume and you are consuming. Personally, every morning I wake up, right? Do my crunches, and I listen to NPR. I love NPR, and I think I get good news from them. I say avoid TV as much as possible, but that, you know, that's just me. I'm sure you can get some good stuff from TV, especially PBS. Those are a few things I think you can do, and get some usefulness out of the media. By the way, we are the media. By the way,
oh, we are definitely the media.
Everybody who sends an email into a show, right? You're part of the media too, because you're creating, you're contributing. So.
And frankly, I'm not afraid or ashamed or embarrassed to come out and say, this actually sounds kind of funny. Don't believe us either. We give you some knowledge and we give you some viewpoints and we try to counteract, but we're not infallible. We report things that may not be. Completely, let's admit, we may have some slants the opposite. You know, we're looking from a hacker perspective. I'm willing to admit that perhaps I'm missing out on someone else's, I may not necessarily agree with it, but that doesn't necessarily mean that I'm always right, but I am, but, you know, that's neither here nor there. But, you know, well, like, for example, I agree, TV is the worst. It is the most biased. I absolutely agree with that. Even if you think that somehow CNN or Fox News or MSNBC, you think that a news channel is more credible than, say, you know, the channel, whatever, Channel 7 News or your local whatever. They're all just as bad. They're all just as biased. They all rush to get a story. They all practice sensationalism that's just mind-numbing. However, I still think that even in that, because let's be honest, that's where the majority of people are getting their news. They're getting their media. They're watching television. Few people listen to the radio. Few people read newspapers anymore. You get it on the internet, which is a great source of media. But the same on the internet and the point I'm making for television is don't key in on any one thing. Don't key in on any two things. There's nothing wrong with watching the news on television. Of course, you may disagree with me here. As long as you put it all together and you listen, okay, CNN says this, but this channel says that, MSNBC says that, Channel 7 says this, blah, put it all together and see what the total message from all of them is, and then combine that with your own research on the internet and your own intelligence and decision-making abilities, and come up with your own answer. These are just sources to help you come up to your own answer. These are not answers to being spoon-fed to you. And unfortunately, the majority of Americans, anyway, sit at home and they're like, yeah, right on, hackers suck, you know, hackers are the bad guys.
Right.
Which, by the way, I'm going to send you an attachment that we're going to talk about on the next show we do that's going to blow your mind. But
can't wait.
Yeah, you know, they spread these things. You have to, the word consumer that you hate so much. You have no choice. You have to be a consumer. You have to consume media.
Hey, I don't hate the word. I just hate what it means in this country.
But you have to be an intelligent consumer.
Yeah.
That's the key. So consume the media in whatever forms it is and come up with your own decisions and your own solutions. And, you know, I think there is good information on television.
I tell you what, can I give some suggestions? I mean, we talk about it. We urge people to, you know, hey, make sure you take a grain of salt with all the media you consume, with all the news you intake.
Absolutely.
We said that about RFA, the last show, I believe. Can I give some actual suggestions of where you can find some good news sources?
Absolutely.
I think, you know, things that people can really use. I think, one, let's start with the Internet, indiemedia.org, right? Mm-hmm. Take your city or your state, stick it in front of .indiemedia, and then and then hit go, right? Arizona.indiemedia.org. Read those sites. I think you need to fill your time more with good sources from the internet and radio, and not as much TV. More reading is better as well. NPR, public radio, absolutely one of the best places to get the news.
And also BBC.
And who?
BBC, the British Broadcasting.
I was just going to say that actually there was, in Phoenix at least, there used to be a half-hour news show every night from the BBC. If you've got satellite, maybe you can get the BBC News, right? When I travel, I'd get the BBC World News and watch that. So the radio is definitely a good place to go. And now on the TV, I think you already brought it up, BBC is a good one. Your public access channels, right? It's not always the guy wearing a loincloth and, you know, reading from the Bible, right? The crazy guy that gets his time. Sometimes I've run into public access stations that would play news, subtitled news from France, Germany, lots of places like that. And you definitely need a global perspective. You know, you'll definitely get a different perspective if there's the same issue that's being covered by domestic news sources. So those are just a few good places that you need to look into to get better information and better media to consume. So
absolutely.
Is follow those, you know.
Absolutely. You got to combine, you got to see both sides of the issues and again, make your own decision.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's the bottom line.
I can't believe I forgot her name. My public access channel here in the morning, you know, the cable public access channel, they play, she does Democracy Now. I can't believe her name just totally left my mind.
Downtown Julie Brown?
What? No. Amy Goodman. God, I can't believe I couldn't think of it. Democracy Now, and I think it's her website is democracynow.org, and that's a great show I watch on TV, right? So if you look around to the other places, right, turn off that broadcast crap, and you can find some good stuff. So.
Very, very true.
Yep.
Now, see, I knew that would be a good topic for you. I knew that you'd be animated and you'd be just all into that one.
Yeah, and I hope, and I thank you for giving the opportunity to give people examples, right, to give you actually places that you can go. We're not just going to talk about, the broadcast TV sucks and indie media is good. All right. No, we're giving you examples right here. Go to democracynow.org. Look for the TV show broadcast on your public access stations. Listen to NPR radio. Contribute to public radio if you can. That is the best shit ever. And if you haven't listened to Click and Clack on the weekends, you are missing out on some funny shit, dude. I'm telling you. Oh, the swearing. Oh, I'm sorry.
No, well, you know, it's like, yeah, I came to the same conclusion you did about that. I put it at the top of my notes that says, try your best to control
that. That's
it.
That's one thing I saw.
And it's not a rule. It's just,
you were yelling at me.
I'm just trying my best to do it because, you know, listeners have mentioned it, and I take that to heart. When somebody mentions it and they're sincere. But you know what? Sometimes it's going to happen. You know, that's one of the... You know, I told you my T-shirt slogan.
It's ironic, too.
Yeah. Maybe we can have those released for H2K4 also. So...
Nice.
Anyway, let's...
We're just a huge media outlet, dude.
You know, I want to go back and clarify that my point in that as well. Independent media, very good. But I still say, and I guess maybe you disagree with me a bit, I still say, listen to the independent media, the independent version of the, Michael Jackson pedophile story. And then listen to the Fox News version of the public Michael Jackson pedophile story.
Put the two of them together. But that's the thing. People go much too much to the bad way, right? To the dark side. They need to add more of these other suggestions that we gave them into their daily intake. So,
but I want them to see both of them for two reasons, because they get two different viewpoints, which is always good, and B, I think people's eyes will be opened at exactly how biased and messed up one is over the other, and we'll let them decide that on their own. Okay, let's go to some actual hacking news or some... Actually, I've got some other good stuff in here. This is kind of a... We stay away from general politics on the show, but politics relating to privacy, freedom, technology, stuff like that we talk about. And I've got a few topics along that line. Actually, I'm going to start with more of a... I guess this is a privacy story, but it's really more... Well, let me just go into the story. I had a friend who discovered an interesting bit of information at the university that they attend. They found out that they actually have an account at a particular bank, which shall remain nameless. Don't email me and ask me. They have an account at this bank, and they called the bank 800 number. They didn't have, I think, their account number, so they called and were trying to get, I think, deposit or get some information on the balance of their account or something like that. And they couldn't help but notice that the operator on the other end, there's three questions that they ask you on the phone to identify yourself. Now, I know you've had... I of course, couldn't name these particular episodes offhand, but on RFA, you've called numbers before and found, hey, what do you need here? What information do you need? You realize how they ask sometimes just the most asinine questions to verify who you are.
They give it to you.
Yeah, and, you know, sometimes they do just out and out give it to you because it's easier. Well, this is a bank. You would think they would take security seriously, you know. Well, they had three questions that they asked. First of all, they asked for the account number. Now, the account number is at the bottom of any check, deposit slip, sometimes off the ATM slip. You know, you could shoulder surf it. There's very easy. That's the most difficult thing to get, but that's very easy. You give them your account number over the phone. They ask you your name. Well, duh, you can find out a person's name super simply. It's on the check. I mean, there's a million ways that name is so easy to get. And then what they think is their ace in the hole, what they think is their real security key, is they want the last four digits of your Social Security number. Now, we've, in many occasions, talked about it is possible to get someone's Social Security number. I won't go so far as to say easy, but it is kind of easy. If you really wanted it bad enough, you definitely could find it. Well, in this particular case, at this particular university, you don't even have to go find it. It's given to you. It just so happens that the naming convention, the naming standards for the assigned email address of every student, gets assigned an email address. The default email address of every student is the first four digits of their last name and the last four digits of their Social Security number.
You're kidding me.
Yeah, that is their email address.
That is...
at whatever EDU.
That is the most asinine thing.
That's their naming convention. That's what they decided on.
You gotta be kidding me, dude. Spider-Man doesn't like that. Dude, that is BS.
You know, it's there.
Keys of the kingdom right there, man.
Yeah, and you know, the thing is, like I said, if you really went out looking for it, of course you could find it, but my gosh, giving it away, and you know, there's a phenomenon, I don't know if you've seen this, I don't know if you can back me up on this, but there's a phenomenon going on right now, and maybe some college students can back me up on this. There's this sweeping movement of banks offering free checking, absolutely free checking, totally free checking, rectum cleaning free checking. You know, this whole movement, and what a lot of universities are doing is when the students come to campus, a lot of them don't have and have never had an account before, they have an agreement with these banks where they'll give them a totally free checking account and they'll, you know, take and automatically deposit their checks or their financial aid checks and automatically deduct their payments and stuff like that for ease of use for the university. It's much easier for them to do that. It saves them money. They work out a deal with the bank, yada, yada, yada. And they give these accounts to the kids. Well, that's sacrificing that. I'm sorry, I shouldn't say kids, students, whoever they have, whatever age they happen to be, these students sacrificing their privacy by assigning them this email address. If you're working hand-in-hand with said bank, you would think that somebody, that would have to cross somebody's mind, wouldn't it?
Apparently not.
Obviously not. Obviously not. And someone, the person that sent this to me, also sent this to the university and to the bank, and I can't verify that they took action, but they took it.
A school watch.
Yeah, they took very seriously. This is not I'm graduated. I'm out of school. It's not me. But it's very close to home. I'll say that.
I gotcha.
They took it seriously. At least they seemed to. They replied. They seemed to take it very seriously. They didn't realize it. They really didn't. I mean, you got to, you know, a big university, you know, tens of thousands of students or more, a bank that doesn't know what the student, you know, the bank, one hand doesn't wash the other, you know. The bank doesn't know what this hand is doing, and this hand doesn't know what the other hand is doing. So somebody pointing out the two things, you know, they really didn't know about it. Seems silly, seems like somebody should have caught it. Luckily, somebody finally caught it, and as far as we know, no damage has been done yet. But at the same time, there was also some backlash of people saying, how dare you report this? Thanks for telling everyone how to commit fraud.
No,
it happened.
Yes, well,
and I'm like, you know, now you know what hackers go through.
No, seriously, because I mean, guess what? The bad guys have probably already been doing it.
Exactly.
They watch this, they study, they look for this kind of stuff. I bet you they've already been doing it.
And hey, they may find it now after the fact. And that's what I said. Hackers have been going through this for years.
Oh, dude.
We find vulnerabilities, we point them out, we go to jail.
Yeah.
What the fuck?
Exactly.
Oh, whoops! Damn it! See now you.
What the
fudge?
I just dropped an F bomb. You dropped an F.
All right, damn it.
Yeah, just like that crappy little script I wrote that gets all those email addresses. Well, guess what? The spammers had that stuff a long time ago. That's nothing new.
Mm-hmm.
They've been using those lists for forever. You know, it's better and it's hard. It's not easy. Like logic, right? At his school, he came out and said, "Hey, man, this is really bad." And
pay the price.
Get busted, but wasn't pleasant for the man.
But. He has integrity, and you can't put a price.
Yeah,
you can't put a punishment.
Yeah, dude.
You know?
Straight up.
Seriously.
Bad
so,
ass.
Anyway, I thought you'd get a kick out of that little story.
Yeah, that's pretty fun. By the way, personally, the last class I took, of course, you know, they want to give you the Social Security number. I said, no, I want something else. And they changed it. They have another system because they said more and more people, and I hope it's true because I'd yet to see one, but more and more people, students, were switching from that Social Security number, and I did that. That day, I said, "Nah, it ain't gonna fly. Give me another ID number."
Yeah, and you know what? The double irony to the story is this university has switched away from using socials as the overall student's ID number, yet they still use the social as the email address.
Oh,
so it's,
God.
Yeah, it's a, you know, it's like half-assed. That's all I can say.
Big time. That's a good one. That's very good.
I thought you'd get a kick out of that one.
I enjoyed that one a lot.
Now, keeping with the theme here. I know you. This is probably two of your favorite words, Patriot Act.
Yeah.
Congress is looking at problems with the Patriot Act.
I heard this on NPR this morning.
See, is that timing or what? Do we get our media from proper sources? What, you know?
I think so.
Finally, they realize. And you know what, actually? And this is a good... I don't watch the show a lot. What is it? Is it Mickey Rooney? Is that the guy, the old guy? Is it Mickey? The guy on the end of 60 Minutes, I think, is the show.
Oh.
He's like, why is it that
sometimes...
Yeah, is it? And there you go, him. He actually brought this up on the show. I never watched the show. I happened to be flipping through, and it was on yesterday, and he was actually talking about and saying that the Patriot Act was ridiculous. I'm like, whoa, this is 60 Minutes? This is mainstream bias media, and somebody actually said that? So there is, you know, there's something to be said. There's sometimes good stuff.
Anyway. I heard a senator this morning, I wish I could remember his name, talking about their concern for privacy, you know, for civil rights, essentially, you know, because of the Patriot Act.
Well, I don't know.
It
could be this right here, Bob Barr. Could be the same.
What their agenda is.
Yeah. After they finally realize, after 2 years, what we've been saying since day one, the day it came out, how come it's the intelligent internet community knew on day one after it was released that it was screwed up, written in haste, signed in haste, overly broad? How come the internet community at large knew it?
Because they've been doing the stuff that they're just, you know, getting the legal rights to do. I mean, they've been able to do this, you know, use technology to do such things for a long time. The senator even said, he said, now that we have the capability to watch people, you know, to such an extreme degree, we need to look at this now. Well, it's a little late now. But.
Yeah, exactly. Well, but you know what? Better late than never.
I guess.
I know that's horrible, but hey, it's true. Better late than never. This is Representative Bob Barr states, and listen to this. This is, again, better late than never, but it's still kind of sad. He says, quote, "Little did I or many of my colleagues know that it would shortly be used in contexts other than terrorism and in conjunction with a wide array of other privacy-invasive programs and activities." Are you dumb? Are you just dumb? I mean, we told you this the day it came out. Why don't you, first of all, why don't you read stuff before you sign it? Okay? Read stuff before you sign it. We all know that. We preach about it on the show all the time. And our own senators and representatives don't do this? Oh, yeah, anti-terrorism bill. Oh, yeah, I got to sign that because we just got our buildings. Well, we got to sign that. I don't want to be anti-American or anti, you know, I got to sign this blindly. Read what you sign into law. Section 215, that's the one I've heard. 215 allows the FBI to demand business records, including internet records, with a simple order from a, quote, foreign intelligence surveillance court, even if the subject is not a suspected terrorist. How do you miss that? How did you not read that? Oh, I didn't read 215. I stopped at 214. Yeah, I didn't read up to 215.
Did he say that he didn't read it?
I don't.
Know, that surprises me.
I don't know.
I think they absolutely know what's going on.
You think they knew that they were giving that power and didn't realize it would be? I mean, you think they're not naive? We didn't think they'd abuse it. Is one worse than the other, whether they didn't read it or they read it and were too naive? Do we want people that naive in office?
I think they're very smart men and women, and they know exactly what's going on.
Well, I would debate your definition of the word smart.
Well,
how about, all right, Section 505.
Motivations are different than intelligence. So.
Section 505 gives the government power to use an administrative subpoena. It's not even a real subpoena. It's a simple security letter to obtain credit reports and financial documents, as well as telephone and email bills. You know what it takes to get a security letter? Nothing. Probable cause? Nope, out the window. You don't need that anymore, thanks to the Patriot Act. Judicial review? No, we don't need to put this in front. No, we don't need a review. Just write a letter.
Right.
That's it.
Right, oh yeah.
And they knew that, huh? They were smart people that knew that.
I think so. If not to great detail, the people who are voting at the Hill know what's going on. They have well-paid people to make sure that they know what's going on, right? To make sure that they are meeting the needs of their constituents. I don't know. Maybe I'm a pessimist.
It sounds like I'm the pessimist. Yeah, I'm the pessimist. You're the optimist. Is that what we're looking at here? Because we do this all the time. Regardless, it's about time. It's a good thing, better late than never. It's about time they looked at it. Maybe they'll make changes. Maybe they'll make some amendments to this. Maybe they'll get rid of it altogether. Yet, ironically, they'll probably sign Patriot 2 while they're doing it.
Yeah.
Well, you know, we won't even go there. Here's another one. Now, see here, I'm going to flip the coin on you because I know you say I'm Mr. Negative, pessimist. I have lost a lot of faith. But listen, now let me.
Dude, everybody. if you could hear, man, I wish I had a recorder. Some of the times I would get a classic stank rant.
Well, okay, but let me go with this. Listen,
I'm
going to fool you.
Telling, dude, there are some and rants not meant for public ears, but just good rants nonetheless. And you, well, you would probably agree. Sometimes you are quite pessimistic, my friend.
I admit I've lost a lot of faith. I've lost a lot of faith.
Understandably so.
Yeah. Well, let me flip it because I'll show you that I'm a factual person. I deal with facts. I deal with what I see, and I don't see how any intelligent person, if the internet at large knew that it was a problem, why didn't these people? And you tell me they're smart men and women, and I'm sorry, I just don't see how any smart man or woman could or would willingly sign this into law if they knew what it entailed. And they're saying now that they didn't realize it would be used like this or didn't realize. Well, I say to that we need more experienced people, less naive people, more intelligent. I don't care how you word it. We need people in there who are going to sit down and analyze something and not be biased by lobbyists, not be biased by the word. You know, the worst thing is bipartisanship. You know? You don't think that has a factor?
Not in today's government, no.
Well, I guess you have more faith than I do, and I freely admit that.
No.
But signs like this one, here's a good story. This gives me more faith back. If I had more stories like this one, I would regain a lot of faith. The Safeguard Against Privacy Invasions Act is being rediscussed, the SPI. The goal of this act is to crack down on spyware by revamping and modifying a bill to allow security updates for software without leaving loopholes for spyware to communicate with servers and report private data back to companies.
Kind of vague.
Well, they're adapting a bill, first of all. They're adapting a bill. They're fixing loopholes. They're not sacrificing security in the process. And they're protecting the privacy of American citizens. Is it possible that there are people in the government that do know what they're doing? When I read this, I think maybe they are.
Well, that's
and now, see, here I am getting faith, and you're questioning it, so I don't know what to think now.
No. See, I think there's an answer for both questions, and that is that sure the people in ultimate power maybe don't know, you know, the specifics, but I guarantee you they have well-paid people to make sure that you know, they get the Reader's Digest version. So,
is the Reader's Digest version good enough?
You know, it has to be. When you're dealing with the nation, it has to be, right?
No.
You're senators.
I'm sorry, no, I don't agree.
But it can't. They don't have time for the minutiae. That's neither here nor there.
I don't think taking away people's privacy is minutiae.
I'm not familiar with this. I don't know. I'd have to read more about this to see what it does. It's just, is this verbatim? Is this verbiage right from a description of the act?
Just the two lines you see there is a description of that. That is the Cliff's Notes version, if that's what you want to call them. That is the Reader's Digest version.
Without leaving Lewis Press Communicative Service report private right to. I don't know. That's weird. Yeah, I'd have to read more about that. But I don't know. See, and here's where I say that I'm the pessimist, because I see something like this, something I'm not familiar with, granted. I think there's motivation there, and it's probably monetary, right? It's economic. Something about that, right? There's a reason for that. Some guy just didn't get pissed off at freaking Bonzi Buddy and say, I'm going to pass an act, right? Senator Jim Bob, right, was pissed at his freaking Yahoo bar and couldn't uninstall it and said, God, gosh darn it, I'm going to pass an act. That, you know, no. There's motivation. There's definite motivation there. So I'd be curious. So that's where I'm a pessimist. I think they always know what's going on. You know, maybe not to the, you know, to the buffer overflow level, but.
Well, I wouldn't expect them to know to that detail.
Right.
You know, but.
It's just and is less.
You know, there are people who champion these bills.
Right.
you know, who should and do know it inside and out. Now, does every senator going to know every detail about every bill? Well, no.
Absolutely not.
I mean, I'm not naive enough to believe that. I don't think that that's a senator's job, is to sit down and read every line of every bill. Yes, they have to work with people to give them, but they do have to read more of it than the Reader's Digest version. They have to read more than the Cliff Notes version.
It's not that simple. It's not just, okay, I know what it's about, and I'm going to vote the right way. No. It's like, okay, if I vote this way, what industries will I affect? Who will I piss off more? Just like the steel tariffs, right? He dropped the steel tariffs. Great. You know why? Because there were going to be sanctions by European countries that would have pissed off a bigger contingency here in the U.S. That's why he did that.
All right, well, then let's use these two that we just talked about as an example. You just questioned the second one because you said it was overly vague. Now, if you're a senator and that's presented before you and you get your Cliff Notes version from your highly paid professionals and that's what they give you, what do you do? It's time to vote.
Well, we're absolutely oversimplifying it, first of all.
And you don't think that happens?
No, I'm sure it does.
Well,
it's not just for us, right? And our main issue, the issue close to our hearts, or everybody's, is what technology. So here, no, they're not going to know what that means. I don't even know what that means. Come on, what the hell does that mean? And he's. It's probably bundled with something else, right? He's got to wonder, you know, who's it going to affect? What district is in? If this is a guy in San Francisco or Seattle, right? It's going to make, you know, much more difference than a guy in freaking Arkansas, right? Yeah, it's going to.
Well, I didn't quite catch the difference in. Well, I guess I get your point. Is it depends on case to case? I mean.
Right, yeah.
I think people's privacy is pretty much universal, but yeah, I got you. I know what you're saying.
Freaking copper mining, it's not going to, I don't know if there's any copper mining in South Dakota, but it's absolutely going to mean something in, you know, in the Southwest and in Arizona, right? That's just one example.
I just don't understand then how something like the Patriot Act gets passed. I just don't.
Who was the president that said beware the military-industrial complex in times of war? Am I misquoting? I can't even name. Anyways, you know, and that's another thing.
The motivation
Did you ever hear the H2K2 speech by Air Magruder? Did you hear that keynote?
I think I heard part of it.
Everybody listen to that. Listen to, if it's 2 hours, 3 hours, whatever, listen to all of it. Because he's dead on about so much stuff. And one of them said, you know, what, you know, and I've seen this, go to coffee shops and people are just, two guys are talking, oh, this and that and this and that and blah, blah, blah. And they don't know what the hell they're talking about. I don't know what the hell I'm talking about. Just like this SPI, I don't know a damn thing about this. I can't talk to this. Straight up. But it doesn't mean you can't research that. It doesn't mean you should lose your faith, right? Although probably most of us have. It just means that you have to educate yourself and you have to make, this kind of goes back to what we were talking about. It just means that you have to, for things that matter to you, you have to put some blood and sweat into it, right?
Well, I like to think that I do educate myself on things that apply to me. I just wish my representatives and senators did as much as I don't know, maybe I'm thinking I do more than I really do. I don't know. I just don't think that they're looking out for my best interest sometimes. I think the lobbyists have a lot of influence on them. I think the party lines have a lot of influence on them. And I think they make decisions based on something other than the best interest of the American people sometimes.
Right.
Not all the time. I'm not like, what's his name, Kaczynski. I'm not freaking, you know, going to, you know, I get angry. I talk about it. I debate it. I kind of see your point, but I just don't completely agree with it.
I know it was circular, so my apologies to everyone. That was total freaking. If you ever listen to Rush Limbaugh, and that's good radio too. He's a dumbass, but it's good radio. Actually, he's not a dummy. He's smart because many people listen to him. Listen to the lack of logic and the circular logic there, you know. And please forgive mine, but dude, you want to train yourself. That's what everybody needs. I'm serious. Social training, right? You must train yourself to deal with people and to deal with people well, to persuade people, right? Social training, very important. You must train yourself physically, always. You must have balance. always. You know, hackers, you know, when you're young, you're always, you're shooting hoops, doing all this other stuff. Your body's great, but you must train your mind as well, right? So physical training as well as mental training. Hackers and freaks, they do that all the time. So we're good in that spot. But you must train yourself. You must train yourself to prepare. Actually, ooh, this is kind of a segue into the next RFA. And you have to read about and learn about things like this, right? You have to train yourself in the ways of your government. Train yourself in the ways of law. Train yourself in the way of privacy. And be prepared for things like that. So you know what? When you go to the coffee shop and some dumbass wants to talk about frickin' the steel tariffs, you could say, you know what? I've had an interest in that, and I actually researched that, and here are the facts. And,
well, I tell you, you know what?
Where the hell did all that come from?
Well, no, listen, I'm going to do something for you, out of respect for you, I'm going to do this. As hard as this is, I am an open-minded person. I try to give people the benefit of the doubt most of the time. It's gotten a lot of bad things happening that I've seen in the government to get me to be this much of a cynic. I am going to do this for you. I'm going to wipe the slate clean as of today. This is my New Year's resolution. I hate New Year's resolutions because I don't need a crutch excuse to make a new resolution in my life or a change.
Exactly.
But since the timing is right, I'm going to go with it. When we come back, now, and this is a good segue, we're going to wrap up the show anyway, because I think we're over. I'm going to segue next week, episode 25. And by the way, thank you for being on. I'm glad to have had you on the 24th.
Thank you.
The 25th is our, you know, I don't know what anniversary it is, but it's a big, big step for us. Came right through the Christmas holidays, so I'm going to air the telephonic craptacular. Put that on next week, so it's not going to be a normal show. That'll be next week, and I was glad to have you on for the last show before that.
Right.
You know, so this is kind of a milestone live show here. I'm going to do for you, starting on episode 26, I'm wiping the slate clean. I'm not going to prejudge and call our senators and our people a bunch of idiots. I'm going to try my best to start over, but I'm going to put you on the spot, and you're going to convince me why I'm thinking about this wrong. Why? How come? Okay, if I get mad at one of these laws being passed, or I think something bad or wrong happened, I'm going to say, Duel, explain to me how this happened. Okay? And we're going to have the same debate back and forth, intelligent. There's nothing wrong with disagreeing, arguing, debating, as long as it's intelligent conversation.
Right.
You and I, we're going to do this, I don't know, once a month, once, whenever we get the, we're going to start doing this more often.
Now, don't get me wrong now.
No. I'm doing this for you. Out of respect for you, we're going
to
do
now,
this.
And I have to apologize for all, you know, for the huge ideas, right, that came out of these specific discussions.
Yeah, we went kind of deep.
No way did I say that these guys are Mensa, okay? But it all goes to, here's the thing. What's important to the people that have downloaded the show, that are listening to the stream? What are important to what's important to you and to me? And this is going to sound really Sean Kennedy, and it is, because he's right. What you can do, what you have to do, and you must do, is prepare yourself, right? You have to prepare yourself. You have to, you know, whether it be research, whether it be physical training, you have to be ready, and you have to, so army, be the best that you can be so you can deal with any of these things that they throw at you, because no, they're not the smartest people in the world, and they are influenced by more money than we'll ever see.
That's all I was saying.
I I'm not saying that they're not any of those things, but to say that they don't know what's going on is absolutely wrong. They know it. They know what they're doing. These are smart freaking people.
I guess it's
not
levels.
Genius. They're not, you know, physicists, right? But they know what they're doing. They know what their agendas are, and they're going to reach their goals.
Maybe we need physicists and rocket science in our government.
Say what?
So maybe we need rocket scientists and physicists.
Dude, have you ever? You've been to college. I've dealt with a lot of PhDs, bro, and there's a lot. As a minor professor, very accurate.
Yep. Very true.
Very accurate. True. So there's, and again, I'm sorry about all these huge, you know, ideas, these huge notions that have come out of this.
No, I want to be sorry. I think this is good conversation.
Well, I know, but and it's not that I'm screwing issues. It's just not, you know, I can't speak. I'll admit, I can't speak intelligently to that last piece, that FPI, whatever it is. But that's okay, because I'm doing other things. I'm making sure that I'm ready for whatever they throw out, and I want to prepare as best I can. And there's infinite things out there to listen to and read and watch. And, you know, going back to what we were talking about, smart, you planned this.
What?
Fuck.
What?
That's all. The point of show notes.
Maybe you ought to read those.
Seriously, you've got, and I'm gonna go in this. I mean, it's going to be much darker, unfortunately, but we're going to be talking about that on RFN. I don't mean to pimp the show on this, but...
No, by all means.
It's kind of what I plan to talk about, for a few reasons.
Segue.
That anybody could... Yeah, no reasons that anybody could ever think of, but... Yeah. Listen to Sean Kay, man. He's on... I'm going to...
That was a cross-platform segue. That's a segue to Radio Freak America. 90... Are you going to do 93?
90-freaking-3, yeah.
93, man. You're old.
Yeah, I know.
93,
crazy.
Man. You're like, this is going to be like the Viagra years of RFA.
Like 2 years, dude. 2 years. That's a lot of freaking...
Wow.
That's a lot of radio, dude.
That's a long time.
It is.
Hopefully, at least 93 more.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
I hope to be some part of them.
Yeah, we'll see about that.
Again, thank you for being on the show.
Anytime.
We went very deep. I think this was a very productive, very good show. I think people are sitting at home thinking... Hopefully.
Every time I come on your show, dude, I think like I've never thought before, seriously.
Well,
you always
I guess...
make me think, and that's really good. You and Bland.
I'm not sure what that means, but we'll go with it. I'm going to do this, my shout-out. Now, again, the Telephonic Craptacular next week. We're going from a super ultra high, I hope it was an intelligent conversation, and next week we're going rock bottom to the Telephonic Craptacular, baby, because I can roll like that. Because I can bring it like that. I am going rock bottom next week with a Telephonic Craptacular, episode 25, like I said. Email us. The new email address is radio@benrev.com. Our closing music tonight is Ill Skill, somebody we used very early on in some of the early episodes, and I haven't gone back to in a while. Just a track called Hip Hop Piano, just a nice groovy piano beat. It's piano groove over a beat. Nice, clean, mellow song. And my shout-outs tonight, as you can already see in the notes, I'm not sure what you're going to follow up with, but I'm going to give a shout-out to the men and women, the brave men and women of the armed forces who have captured one of the most evil men on the planet. That's my shout-outs. Forget, you know, any of the other stuff we've talked about. That's my shout-outs for the night. Did you want to add, or...
Yeah, I want to shout out the Default Radio, In Theory, Voodoo Howl, Bland, of course, Mute, and of course the whole Arizona 2600 crew, Rax, Meme, Bob, Logic, Fiend, all those mothers.
What about, does Spidey have any shouts out?
Spidey does, he wants a shout out.
That's my favorite one right there.
Bestiality operators. That's like the lamest one right there.
That is so ethnic, man. That is just so wrong. 911 information, can I help you? That is so bad.
I love that. That's your whole show is Spider-Man.
All right, man. You know how we roll. We will listen, see, hear, speak to everyone. Next week, same hack time.
Same hack channel.
Peace out.